Welcome to the Fallen State. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. You can support the Fallen State by becoming a member right there on the YouTube channel or jesseleepeterson.locals.com. And I do appreciate your support. Also, check out Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee and it is good. Go to jesseleepeterson.shop and I do appreciate it. I have with me Dr. Bradley Nelson and Gene Nelson, and he is a best-selling author, holistic chiropractic physician, a world-renowned lecturer and healer, and they both wrote a book together called The Heart, H-A-R-T, Code. So we're going to get into all of that. Welcome to the show. Thank you all for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse. Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Amazing. So I want to know, for my own understanding, and I'll start with you first, Dr. Bradley, what is important to you?
Well, what's important to me is that people learn that they are children of a divine creator, and that that divine creator has is bringing into the world lots of healing methodologies that are not necessarily through mainstream medicine, but that are on the outside of that, that help us to learn that we can help ourselves, we can get rid of our own emotional baggage, and we can heal ourselves and take care of our own health in most situations. Western medicine is always going to be there for things that, you know, if you really need surgery or some kind of a drug, that's great. Great that we have it. But most of the time, most of us don't need surgery. Most of the time, most of us don't need some kind of pharmaceutical. And instead, what we need is to, number one, find out what emotional baggage we have. Because what we have found over about the last 38 years is that emotional baggage is the single biggest common denominator for our physical and mental and emotional symptoms.
Absolutely. Gee, what's
important
to you?
There's a lot of suffering going on in the world that's unnecessary.
You can say that again. It's a mess.
Yes.
What's important to you, Gee?
What's important to me?
Yes.
Well, those same things. God is the source of love. And there are people that are doing this work all over the world to help others. And there's a whole network of practitioners doing this work that we developed. And we want them to know about it. We travel around the world and we put on events continuously, and we want people to know that they can find help, and it's easy for them to learn this work and to help themselves or to go to a practitioner that's been certified in this work.
Right on. Is that easy to find practitioners who have been certified at holistic? Is that easy
to
find nowadays?
Yeah, people can go to discoverhealing.com. That's our website. And there's a Google map, and we've got we've certified over 16,000 people now in the emotion code in about 108 countries or so.
I saw your video as I prepared for the show, and you told the story of how you were ill as a kid, and your father and mother prayed for you, and that you were healed even before they were done with the prayer, I believe.
Yes.
Explain to us what you meant by that, or what do you mean by that, and how do you know you were healed, and who healed you?
Well, exactly. Yeah, this is one of my earliest memories, and it's one of the clearest memories of anything that's ever happened to me in my life. I was 7 years old, really sick with the measles. And I had overheard my parents talking, and, you know, like happens to lots of kids, parents often don't think kids know what they're talking about, but kids are smarter than I think a lot of the time parents think. And I knew that their plan, what they'd been talking about, was the next day I was going into the hospital into something called an oxygen tent, because I was really sick. And so this one particular night, everyone else had gone to bed. My parents had made a bed for me on the couch in the living room near their bedroom so they could keep an eye on me. And I'm lying there on the couch just feeling really nauseated and sick and feverish. And my parents walked into the room, and my mother said to my father, honey, will you kneel down with me and say a prayer for our boy so we'll be able to get well? And so they did. Now, knowing my dad, this is probably the first time I'd heard him pray out loud. He wasn't a preacher or anything like that. He was in real estate and construction. So he starts offering this prayer. And in the middle of this short prayer, something happened. This change began at the top of my head, and it went whoosh through my body to the soles of my feet, and I was instantaneously completely healed. Now, I remember this, of course, in detail because it was so dramatic. And to go from being really sick one moment to being totally healthy, 100%, in the next instant is so crazy and such an amazing thing that that's burned into my mind, every particle of my being. I remember that. And I was a polite kid, so I didn't want to interrupt my dad, but I was bursting with excitement. And as soon as he was done, I just exclaimed, I'm better. And my parents said, well, that's fine. Go back to sleep. But the next day proved it. You know, I really was. And so that taught me, Jesse, that there is a higher power that we can draw upon. And that is our Father in heaven, we believe and know. And it also taught me that healing doesn't have to take a long time. It can happen instantaneously because it happened to me. And so that was a very foundational experience for me.
And you were not expecting healing to happen at that age? You didn't know at all that that was going to happen?
I didn't know that. I had no inkling that something like that was even possible, really.
Really?
It was a complete surprise. But
were your parents surprised as well?
I think that they were the next day. I don't remember a lot of details of the aftermath,
right.
But I think I think the next day they were surprised. I was just back to being a normal kid, of course, the next day.
And they obviously must have had some faith, though, right?
Yeah, something had to be going. Maybe the parents had it, but he was a kid, so maybe you were not thinking that way, but your parents were thinking that way.
I think so. I don't know that. You know, I don't think they probably expected a miraculous switch.
And so, Gene, now that he's a holistic doctor, does he heal you?
Well, usually my healings happen more slowly than that one did, but there are times when I have quite a lot of relief from this work, and whether it's him doing it or me working on myself or another healer that has learned how to do this work, it can be pretty quick.
Really? Are both of you Christians, or do you believe in God?
Yeah.
Or what's the deal with
absolutely.
That?
We're both Christians.
Yeah, we're very devout Christians. We're members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we really do feel. I believe that everything that's happened to me in my life has really prepared me to bring this healing work into the world. When I was in first of all, I was a computer programmer back in the early 80s, and I had a business called the Computer Tutor, and I used to go into people's businesses and write software for them. But I had always wanted to go into the healing arts. That was my original dream, because when I was about 13 years old, I had kidney disease, and there was nothing available for me in Western medicine, but it was some old holistic doctors that actually brought me out of that in short order. So I made that decision about my future when I was 13, but then time went on, and eventually it was a very powerful answer to prayer that brought me back to that original dream to become a healer. So when I got into practice, I felt, you know, God's gotten me into this. And so when I developed this habit, before I would go to work on a patient, I would just say a silent prayer. It was a totally private, totally personal habit. Nobody ever knew that I was saying a prayer for them, but I was. And I'll tell you something, Jesse, during the about 18 years that I was in practice, and since then, of course, too, 38 years since I started, there have been times when I'll offer a silent prayer for somebody that I'm working on, and information will just suddenly flood in, like an avalanche of understanding how to look at this. And so I know that the higher power, however you might refer to it, is totally aware of what we're doing. And when we ask for help, it opens that channel, if you will, you know, to God. And so we can, it empowers us to receive that guidance, I think. And so asking you shall receive is definitely true.
And so from that, you just, did you have to go to holistic school, doctor school, or how do you become a holistic chiropractor?
Well, you know, I was just a regular chiropractor to start out with, but I was obsessed with getting to the underlying causes, the underlying roots of my patients' problems. And so I started studying everything that I could, modern things, ancient things, methods of healing that had been discarded. I mean, I was kind of an insatiable learner. And I was also asking for help and praying with every person that I saw. Right. And so gradually, more and more things came to light for me. And the most profound thing really that I learned is that within us, we have this computer. You know, when I was in chiropractic school, I remember one day our instructor was up at the chalkboard, and he started talking. This was neurology class, and this guy, our teacher, starts talking about the brain, how the brain was a computer. And I was a programmer at the time, and I started thinking about how the brain is a computer. And I thought, gee, I wonder if we'll ever have the technology to be able to access the information that must be in the brain about that particular person. And I thought, if we could tap into that information, that would change everything, because the brain must know what's really going on with somebody, what deficiencies they have, what imbalances are going on that then could be addressed. And I remember thinking very clearly, Jesse, that that would not happen in my lifetime, maybe in 100 years or 200 years. Little did I know that I was going to spend the rest of my career doing exactly that, learning how to communicate with that internal computer that we each have.
Right.
And it turns out it's a computer that's very willing to give up its information. And these books that we've written, the Emotion Code, the Body Code, and the Heart Code, are all about communicating with the intelligence within us, which I believe is, because it comes from a divine source, and because we are divine creatures, really, that subconscious mind or the spirit within us is an intelligence that we cannot really comprehend. It's beyond our ability to really understand, and it's very willing to give us its answers.
I want to ask you, Gene, about the book, Heart Code, but let me first ask you, Doc. So you hear from God?
It's not always a direct answer from God. It was actually that understandings came at certain times to both of us in different ways, and we were able to create a system so that we could test the body and get answers from the subconscious. So actually, it wasn't like the brain was so much giving us the answers, but it was the subconscious mind. And so if you learn how to tap into the subconscious, you can get the whole list of things that are creating a symptom or an illness or malfunction or whatever the problem is with the person. I worked for many years with Brad in his clinic, and then since then have helped him with this business that we're doing now, where we're training people. And I just was so privileged to learn along with him. But the thing that was so beautiful about it was that, you know, he studied under lots of different people, and he sought out different ways of learning. But as he learned, things became more and more simple. Mm-hmm. It was like all the puzzle pieces kind of came together, and we were able to understand things, how to proceed and help people and treat them in a really simple way. And it's quick. Amazing. It's really easy to do. And that's why we decided we needed to help other lay people out there to empower themselves. Amazing. So that they don't have to rely on us, you know.
And so, Dr. Bradley, do you hear from God? Like, how do you know, and do you hear from him?
Well, you know, like I said, I've had experiences in my life where working on patients, there have been times, not very many times, just a few times really, where I've had sudden downloads of information, right?
Right.
Where someone comes into my office and I don't know how to work on them. I don't know how to address this. And in response to that silent ask for help, information floods in. I can't count on that happening. It isn't something that happens very often. I mean, over 38 years, maybe that's happened five times. But nevertheless, I believe that when we do ask for help from up above, it opens that channel, right? So we're able to get that help. And we recommend for all of everybody that does this, we teach in all of these books and in all of our certification programs that if you happen to believe in a higher power, a power that maybe created you, created the universe, created the world, that keeps everything going, if you believe in a higher power like that, whatever religion you may be, and you ask that power for help, we're probably talking to the same source.
Right.
And so we recommend that everybody do that.
And so when you get a patient, do you take a moment and say, oh, Lord, help me with this one?
It's more just a silent, you know.
Oh, you don't say anything.
Sometimes we do if the person wants to.
Yeah, but generally speaking, for all the years that I was in practice, it was never an out loud sort of thing. It was more of a momentary pause, just directing my thoughts and my heart up above, saying, hey, Father in heaven, I could use some help with this patient. Thanks for this opportunity in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's how I would do it. But it was totally silent. So none of my patients ever knew that I was saying a silent prayer for them.
Nice.
But I was.
And what happens when God doesn't respond to you?
Yeah, you just ask again the next time.
The patient laying it on the table. You wait on God to say something, and he doesn't respond. Maybe he and Jesus got to lunch or something. What happens when he doesn't respond?
Well, you keep asking. How often does something immediately happen when you ask God for help or for guidance? Well, sometimes it does. Once in a while, right? But it's the exception rather than the norm. But I just wanted to always be in that. I wanted to put myself in that state where I would be more facilitated, I guess, to hear those little subtle answers. See, what I have come to believe and find is that when we ask God for guidance, the guidance always comes, but it doesn't necessarily come right then. It could come through another person. And a lot of the time, I think that guidance comes as a little idea that we receive that we think is our own idea, and we pat ourselves on the back for being smart. I think a lot of the time it's just a little impression that we receive, a little guidance, or just a feeling, see? And so, I think it helps to be in tune and be listening, because a lot of the time when we ask God for help, we just then immediately get distracted with all these other things. And so that guidance is usually it's like what they call the still small voice, right? It's a little voice that it's easy for us to miss.
What is the subconscious and where is it located?
Well, I'll tell you what I believe. I like to keep things really, really simple. Right. I believe that we each have a spirit within us. You go to a funeral, you look at the person in the casket, and there's obviously something that's different from them.
Right.
And that's just the shell that's left over. But that spirit, and people have seen that spirit leave the body. In fact, back in the it was in the 1920s, they did a study that we talk about in one of these books we've written about scientists who wanted to test the human body at the moment of death to see if anything changes. And so what they did is they had all these people that were one by one that were close to dying. And when a person would be very close to dying, they would bring them in and put their body on this very, very fine scale. And what they found was, on average, at the moment of death, the human body suddenly gets lighter, just a little bit, about 21 grams, not a lot of weight. But they found that that was the average, about 21 grams of weight. What is that? Well, I think that's the spirit leaving the body. For countless years, thousands of years, people have recorded seeing that spirit that is within us. I think if you could take your spirit out of you, Jesse, and put it right next to you, it would look exactly like you in every detail.
What a mess.
And that's really who you are.
Right on. What a mess. So my spirit would be black.
I don't think spirits are black or white. I think they just, you know.
But it would look like me. I want to ask, so the subconscious is inside of a heart or something like that?
Yeah, I think that I think the heart really is the seat of the subconscious mind.
I believe that.
And I think that because, you know, the ancient peoples believed that the heart was the seat of the soul and the source of love and creativity and romance. And they believed the heart was the core of our being. And it's fascinating what modern science has found, because it's been, you know, well over 100 years or more that they discovered that there's a lot of brain tissue in the heart. And they found that there are about 40,000 neurites in the heart. But it wasn't until about 1991, the published study found that the brain that is in the heart, that little gray matter and white matter area, is a totally separate brain from the brain that is in our heads. And they found that when they looked at the communication between the brain and the heart and the brain and the head, the vast majority of those communications were traveling from the heart brain to the brain in the head.
Yeah.
And that kind of blew everybody away.
That's
because
interesting.
They suddenly began to realize, well, maybe the brain that is in our head is obeying the messages that are being sent by the brain and the heart. The brain that is in the heart really, it contains the ability to record memories, and the true affinities, the things we really love and really care about, are contained in the heart brain. Now, we don't do brain transplants, right? However, back in the 60s, they started doing heart transplants, and it didn't take long before they began to realize something weird. People would sometimes come back to the doctor after having their heart transplant, and they would report that their taste in music or food or sports had dramatically changed. And sometimes they'd have memories of being in a place they'd never in their life ever visited. And when they connected these people with the families of the heart donors, they would inevitably find out things like, well, yes, our daughter visited Rome every year. It was her favorite city in the world. And now her heart's beating in you. And you say that you have memories of being in Rome, but you've never in your life ever visited. So those are her memories. You know,
that's amazing.
There are whole books written about this. It's called Cellular Memory.
Oh, okay.
And one of my favorites is a girl who was 9 years old, and she got a heart transplant from another young girl who had been murdered, and that's why her heart was available. Well, after she recovered, she started having these nightmares, horrible nightmares, that a man was trying to kill her. And eventually, these were so intense and so consistent that she was able to give descriptions of this man and the murder weapon that was trying to be used against her to the police. And her descriptions of the murder and the murder weapon led to the arrest and conviction of the killer of the donor. She was literally seeing the murder of that other little girl.
That's amazing.
In her nightmares.
Wow. Yeah. You know, as you're speaking, I'm thinking about how God said that if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, if you want to be born again, return to the Father, you have to have a heart change, meaning that your heart has to turn from wickedness, anger, resentment, and all that, to love. And then once you have the heart change, you and God become one, because now you are of love. And when you're of love, you have the same mind as God. And so you become his son or his daughter again. But the heart must change from anger, from resentment, from judgment, to love. And I've noticed that everyone that heart has changed, they've gone and forgiven, they something amazing happens to them. And they're like, wow, I didn't know this was going to happen. I feel lighter. I feel like a burden has been taken away from me. I don't feel so troubled now, worried, because the heart changed from anger to love, which is of God.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It's amazing what you're saying. I want to know, And when you speak a heart, you're not are you speaking of the beating heart, the heart that beat with the blood, or a different kind of heart?
Well, there's a spirit heart as well as a physical heart.
Right.
So remember he was saying about how your spirit would look just like you.
Yeah.
Well, inside of that spirit is a spirit heart.
Yeah. And the Heart Code book is really about what happens when you feel like your heart is going to break. And probably almost all of your listeners have had that experience at one point or another. Maybe
yeah.
when they were a child and their parents were getting divorced or they were being bullied or whatever. And when you feel like your heart is going to break, that heart, which is everything the ancients believed it to be, the seat of the soul and everything else, is really under assault. And so what we have found is that the subconscious mind will build a wall. It's an invisible wall, a wall that is made of your emotional baggage. In other words, the energy of those emotional experiences that you've been through in your life that has not really been processed. And that wall will interfere with your ability to really give and receive love and to really create the life that you're capable of. We believe that there's a blueprint in the heart of every single person
yeah.
or for the best life they can possibly live.
I totally agree. I absolutely agree to that.
Hi, I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. 2026 marks 250 years of America, and they have put my face on this beautiful silver coin to commemorate this occasion. That's amazing. Call 800-411-2663. That's 800-411-BOND. Grab yours now before they are gone.
Gene, I want to ask you about the Heart Code book, the book you guys wrote together. What is the Heart Code book and what is its purpose?
The Heart Code is all about figuring out the emotional baggage that makes up the heart wall and learning how to clear it using this method called the Heart Code. I had a dream a number of years ago that I knew was very significant. And the heart wall was discovered because of my dream. And we were in Portland. Brad was speaking there at a conference. And we had already been clearing trapped emotions from people for a number of years, but we didn't know about the heart wall at that point. So I woke up early in the morning in this hotel room having had a dream. And intuitively, I knew that the dream was really significant and it was important for us to figure out what it meant. So I actually woke Brad up and I said, hey, I've had this dream. I need you to help me to figure it out. And we began to pray for understanding. I shared what the dream had in it, what the symbols were. And then we were trying to figure out what it might mean. And after this prayer and a number of questions and testing and asking God for help to figure it out, we realized, well, Brad had a vision right after I had the dream that helped him to understand. So he can tell you about that.
That's the only vision I've ever seen in my life. But as I was trying to help her figure out this dream, suddenly the room that we were in, this hotel room, suddenly was gone. And instead I'm seeing this incredibly beautiful hardwood floor with this understanding that comes into my mind that her heart was underneath this floor. And this lasted for several minutes, and it was high def and 3D and everything else, and truly a remarkable thing. And eventually we realized that when she was about 2 years old, because she was living in a dysfunctional family with a volatile dad, her subconscious mind began to build this wall around her heart. And that wall was made of layers of emotional energy. And so we asked if we could start removing it.
Yeah, and the hardwood floor was actually a symbol. My heart was underneath it. And so that hardwood floor was actually a symbol of what my heart wall was. And at a young age, I determined that hardwood flooring was a protective barrier to protect my heart from being further broken. So, yeah, that's
amazing.
Why he had that vision
yeah.
like that.
That is amazing.
it's pretty amazing.
It was a crazy thing.
So, Gene, did you get into this work? Were you already a Christian before you met your husband?
Oh, yes, ever since I was a child.
Oh, yeah.
I had an experience as a child where I learned that Jesus was the Christ, and I knew it, and it was a message that came personally to my own heart from God.
And so when you got married, you started to assist him in his work?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Amazing.
Yep. And so he's been my assistant now for 45 years almost.
Jesse. Really?
Yeah, wow. Eight kids and five grandkids later. No, seven. Sorry.
And so, Gee, do you have perfect peace?
Well, I am a pretty calm person. I used to be very shy and withdrawn and kind of shut down. And
We got rid of that wall.
Kind of hard for me to connect with friends and hard to feel comfortable, you know.
Getting rid of that wall made a big change for you.
Yeah, it really did.
And so,
So
I wanted to ask you, do you have perfect peace now?
Oh, not perfect peace, but I have peace a lot of the time.
And why not perfect peace?
Well, because I'm not perfect yet.
But God said you can be perfect.
You told me you weren't.
Why are you not perfect? As your Father in heaven is perfect.
Well, I still have things to learn, Jesse.
Amazing. Have you forgiven your mother for turning you away from your father?
I have forgiven both of my parents.
And you told them?
In fact, one day, I have to tell you, one day I was standing in my kitchen. I guess I am kind of an intuitive person because, this is not like a regular daily thing that happens to me. But one day, my father, who had passed away, was in my kitchen. And I felt his spirit. And I knew he was there. And I knew why he was there.
And this is after he had passed away?
Yes, he had passed away.
Go ahead.
But he came to me to ask for my forgiveness because he had hurt me quite a number of times in my life. And it wasn't intentional. Right. It was always just him raging around, being angry, and not realizing that he was shattering people around him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he knew that he had hurt me at that point. He had evolved to that understanding, I guess, and he came to apologize.
Amazing.
And I said, of course I forgive you. I love you. I forgive you. It's all good.
Right. So, Jesse, can I tell you a story?
I'm sorry?
I want to tell you a story.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, one of the very next people that we worked on after this was shown to us about what happens with the heart was a 38-year-old nurse that came into the office for neck pain. It was pretty severe. And she'd been to a couple of other doctors and so she came in to see me, and as I was talking with her, she told me that she was basically, she was single, had been single for 8 years, and was never going to date again, and was going to live the rest of her life as a single person, and she was very serious about it. And I said, well, gee, how did you arrive at that kind of conclusion? And she said that 8 years before, she was really deeply in love with this guy that dumped her and broke her heart. So I tested her and found, this is not long after this happened with us, tested her and found that she had a heart wall, this phenomenon, right? Where there were emotional energies built into a wall around her heart that you couldn't see, that she wasn't aware of. But they all had to do with that breakup 8 years before. And probably took about 5 or 10 minutes to clear those emotions. And when I cleared the last one, suddenly her neck pain was just instantly gone. So there's another instantaneous thing that happened, right? And those are not that unusual. And anyway, she was super excited because that's why she'd come into my office. So she leaves the office and I don't see her again for 3 months. And she walked back into my office one day and I'll always remember seeing her in my hallway. And I said, hey, how are you? I remembered her immediately. And she said, you know, my neck's been fine since I was here. But she said, you cleared that heart wall for me and that really worked. She said, about 2 weeks after I was here, I found out my childhood sweetheart has been living right around the corner from me for almost 8 years. And we're dating, and we're in love, and I think he's going to ask me to marry him. And I thought, wow, awesome.
That's amazing. Right?
Now, that is not unusual.
Yeah.
We have other stories about childhood sweethearts getting back together, too.
Yeah.
After their heart walls were cleared.
What's interesting about the heart, the change of heart, I've been counseling with men and women around the world for the last 30-something years. And I've heard so many stories about they felt like, some of the men and women felt like they were about to have a heart attack. They was, at the time, they didn't know it was due to stress, but they were so trying to please their wives or please their husband. It was such stress that they felt like they were going to have a heart attack. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor said, after doing an examination, we can't find anything wrong with you. Yep. There's nothing wrong. Your heart is fine. But when they went through counseling with me and they went and forgave, all of a sudden, there was no more feeling of a heart attack. There was no more stress, no more worry. And so I realized that unforgiveness, the resentment, it affects the whole entire body, and it can make you sick. It can make you feel that you're so locked in, as you call the heart wall, heart floor. It can literally destroy every fiber in the body. So that's why it's so important that you forgive so that God can forgive you and take that anger away. Otherwise, you do build a wall around eternal life and you suffer for it.
You're absolutely right.
That's amazing.
That's exactly what heart walls are made of, is those emotions, the energy of those emotions. When you're feeling resentment, or you're feeling unappreciated, or you're feeling betrayed, or whatever it might be.
Right.
There are so many negative ways to feel. And if you get rid of those layers and you identify those each one by one and clear them out energetically, then you can just be free of all of that junk.
Emotions,
you know, I think
evil.
God tells us to forgive people.
Absolutely.
Not for the other person's sake, but for our own, so
Absolutely.
That we are free of that.
Absolutely.
So I want to ask the both of you, Jean, you forgave your father. Did you go and forgive your mother for what she had done to you?
Well, my mother wasn't really an issue for me so much. I'm okay with my mother.
So you never forgave her?
It was my father that was the more.
You haven't forgiven her?
Well, I mean, all of us have to forgive each other, you know.
And have you forgiven your mother?
Lots of little things. But yes, I've forgiven my mother,
too. You told her?
You know, I never really. She probably needs to forgive me more than I need to forgive her, to be honest.
And why haven't you gone to her and forgiven her? Because you became like her. And you don't want to be like
her.
Why haven't you forgiven her?
I have forgiven her. I mean, it's just that it wasn't so dramatic with her.
And you did tell her you forgave her for what she did to you?
Well, she didn't do anything, really. I mean,
she was
there
perfect.
Are always little things in life that...
I know, but
your
father couldn't deal with her because of all the hell in her. He had a hard time dealing with her. That's why he couldn't protect you. Why haven't you gone and forgiven her for what she imposed herself on you? You know, pretend to be a victim of your father, knowing that she was driving him crazy.
She wasn't doing that to him.
But why wasn't she
the source of the problem.
His dad was a rageaholic.
Yeah.
Be free of her?
My dad had probably some mental illness that wasn't really diagnosed, and it wasn't my mother creating the problem.
But how will you overcome your mother if you don't forgive her so that you could be yourself?
I have no problem with my mother.
She was perfect?
Good with her. Practically.
So she made no mistakes.
My parents, too.
She was a saint.
She made no mistakes at all.
Hardly.
Did she make any mistakes that would get on your nerve at times?
I'm sure that all of us make mistakes from time to time.
How about your mother?
Yeah.
So she made some mistake that would irritate you.
She was amazing.
But why haven't you forgiven her for the mistake she did make with you?
Well, you know, I don't expect everybody to be perfect. I don't expect my mother or my father to be.
I know, but you forgave your father, but you didn't forgive your mother. How would God forgive you unless you forgive your mother? Because your mother is not an angel.
I do forgive her.
I'm sorry?
I do forgive her.
But why haven't you told her?
Mother, I forgive you.
Why haven't you told her? Why have you gone to her and said, hey, mother, I've been resenting you because you, I don't know exactly what you did, but you're controlling. You pretend to be a victim. You impose your will on me. Why haven't you, and I become like you because you become like whoever you're angry at. Why haven't you gone to her so that God can forgive you and give you perfect peace? Why haven't you gone to your mother?
God has forgiven me, and I think that I have forgiven her, and I think that she's forgiven me too.
But why have you gone to her?
Well, I have. I just did it just now again.
Where is she?
She's dead.
But she did.
She's on the other side.
Right. But why she lived, why didn't you forgive her? Because you realize you became like her, emotional like her, afraid, shy. It was because of her. Why did you forgive her for that?
I don't blame her.
Oh, but you blame your father.
Not anymore.
I'm sorry?
I think both of them did the best they could.
They did.
You know, there's a great quote in the Emotion Code book. It's by Lewis Smeads. He says, forgiveness is like setting the prisoner free, only to discover that the prisoner was you.
Absolutely.
Right? And so one of the things, Jesse, that we have found is that when people work to relieve or release this emotional baggage that they have, the energy of these emotional experiences, what ends up happening is if there's someone in their life that they have not been able to forgive, they're usually able to get to that point where they are able to forgive, because what the emotion code does and the heart code, it takes that emotional charge out of the event or out of away from those memories of that person. It doesn't change the memories. It doesn't delete the memories, but it enables you to be able to forgive in many cases. In fact, especially with the heart wall, when that wall is taken down, what we see is that people with depression get better. We've seen dramatic improvements in depression. Children that are autistic who will not make eye contact, the first thing that happens with them is when that heart wall is removed. And in our experience, all these autistic kids seem to have a heart wall. When that wall is taken down, often the first thing they do is make eye contact for the first time. Think about that. Yeah. And by the way, this also works with animals.
Go ahead.
It works with animals. We found that animals have emotions, and they get trapped emotions just like people do.
They have to forgive?
Well, no, I don't think so. Not really so much. They're totally
they go
forgiving.
Like, oh.
Dogs especially, you know. But if your dog looks guilty, it actually is feeling guilt. If it ate the butter or did whatever it did, you know, dogs look guilty quite a bit.
Amazing. And so do you have perfect peace, Doctor?
Pretty much, yeah.
You do have perfect peace?
Well, you know, I'm not a perfect person. And like Jean said, although I think she had told me she was perfect before, and so now I'm surprised. just kidding.
I'm slapping him under the table.
He's kicking me. You can't see it, Jen. He's kicking me.
And so do you have perfect peace, Dr. Bradley?
You know, I have about as close to that as I think you can get. I believe that I'm not the same person that I was. And I'll tell you something. Right. You know, over about the last 6 years, I have been using something called the Ho'oponopono prayer, which is a Hawaiian healing method. And essentially what you do is you go through you think about all the people in your life that you've hurt or that you've injured. And what you do is you say to them, because a lot of those people you're never really going to be able to talk to in person, you know, people from your distant past and people in the present. And you say to them, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And over about the last 6 years, I've done that with about every situation I can think of that's happened in my life.
Right.
And you know, true peace cannot be obtained without forgiveness.
That's for sure.
You have to forgive yourself and everybody else that you've wronged.
Absolutely.
Right?
Do you believe that you can have perfect peace while you live right here on earth?
Oh, there's no question about it.
And have you forgiven
your mother? And I feel it right now.
Have you forgiven your mother?
I never had any cause to forgive my mother or my father either. They were about as good as people get.
Were they perfect?
You know, I think they were about as perfect as people get in this world. You know, there's only one perfect person that's ever lived, of course, and that's Jesus Christ. But for the rest of us, you know, I think that what God cares about is that we're trying to move in the right direction and to try to live every day as he would have lived it, you know, to reach out to others and to care. And, you know, when people die and they go to the other side, they often have a life review, but they're never, ever asked how fancy of a car they drove or how much money they made. But They are often asked what their capacity to love others is like.
Absolutely.
And, you know, our job is to learn to love like Christ. And I know that that love that God has for us is beyond our ability to understand. And I've experienced that.
And because of time, why haven't you gone to, because God said, be perfect as he is perfect. He tells us to be perfect, but yet you don't think you can be perfect. But God said to be perfect. Was he lying?
Well, no, but you know, the word perfect is defined one way in the world and another way. It's derived from a word called teleos, which means complete. And so we're supposed to be complete. And How do we become complete?
By having perfect love.
By having love. And by letting go of the world's idea of what happiness brings.
But you guys are not going to get that until you forgive your mother. You got to forgive your mother so you can have perfect peace.
I do forgive my mother. If she ever did anything wrong, I'm sure that it was unintentional because she's about as sweet as they get.
Yeah.
Those sweet mothers are the worst ones.
I don't think so. She was the perfect mother for me.
Dr. Bradley, why haven't you gone to your mother and father and forgiven them?
Well, you know, I've never thought of that because I was never offended by them. Never was. I did things that, you know, I needed to be forgiven of by them.
Well, that's because you became like your mother. You become like what you hate, right? So you took on your mother's identity, and so you start acting the way she is. And then she blamed you and not telling you, hey, son, you become like me. I'm sorry I was wrong. So you can forgive her because mothers will not admit when they're wrong.
Well, you know, I don't think my mom was really ever wrong.
Amazing.
She was an amazing person.
She was
a perfect
person.
Yeah. What?
She really was.
She was so charitable and she just had a way of working with people that was so wonderful. You know, if anyone was ever hurt, she would try to help them in whatever way came to her heart.
But that's what mothers do because they have so much guilt. And so they do things to try to make themselves feel better.
Maybe they don't have to face the guilt.
If I could become half the person that my mother and father were, I'll die a happy man.
What a mess.
Well,
so,
you know,
Gene, do you
learn.
Have anger,
actually,
Gene?
Don't you think, Jesse, that we're here on Earth to learn? And a lot of that learning comes by making mistakes. And so inevitably, we do need to learn to forgive because along our path, we're all making mistakes. Mothers make mistakes. Fathers make mistakes. Children certainly make mistakes. And they're learning from scratch. So
Gene,
let me ask. Learn to forgive.
Because do you have anger, Gene?
Oh, once in a while at Brad, if he doesn't listen or nothing really.
Let's move along here, Jesse. What's the next question?
Nothing too bad. He just maybe doesn't hear me, and I get frustrated or something. That's about the extent of it.
Really? Amazing. Why don't you drop that anger and just have perfect peace? Why don't you drop the anger?
Okay, I will.
All right. Amazing.
Let's do it.
So, Dr. Bradley, I wanted to ask you two questions. One is because when some of my friends heard I was going to be on your show, they wanted me to ask you a couple questions, but I don't have time for that. This a family friend who is now in her, I think she's like 80 or something, give or take. She has, I believe she said, swollen legs, swollen feet. And she wanted me to ask, can she get rid of that? And if so, how? If not, why not?
Yeah. Well, first of all, anything is possible.
Yeah.
And swollen legs and swollen feet can be from something as simple as a mineral deficiency. Seen that happen. But it can also be a sign that there's something going on with your kidneys or sometimes even your heart. And so you never know. I mean, the body is a complex thing. But one of the things that I found when I was working with people in practice and when I really learned and dialed in how to communicate with that inner intelligence, which sounds hard to do, but actually it's very, very simple. And it's taught in all three of these books and in all of our courses and so on, is that the biggest common denominator for all the mental and physical and emotional symptoms that we suffer from, including about 90% of all the physical pain we experience, is actually because of this emotional baggage, these emotions that haven't been processed that are leading to these symptoms.
If a person was into the holistic healing, do they take medication too? Like pharmacy medication thing?
If they've been prescribed something by their doctor, then sure, fantastic. What we do, none of the work that we do with the emotion code, body code, heart code, belief code, none of those are designed to take the place of anything that Western medicine does.
Okay.
Instead, what these are designed to do is help a person to find the things that are in the way of their body's natural innate ability to heal. I mean, think about how powerful that healing desire is in the body. You know, you cut yourself and that's going to heal. It's not the Band-Aid that does the healing. Right. It's the body that does the healing, right? And so things sometimes get in the way of that. And that's what this work is about. It's about helping people. It's about giving them a tool that they can use for themselves to find the blocks that might be in the way of them being able to heal mentally, emotionally, and physically in all those ways.
When do you guys still get sick? And do you go to holistic thing, or you take the medication, or you do both?
You know, we're open to doing both. Right. The subconscious mind, there are lots of great natural remedies. But if you need some kind of a pharmaceutical drug, what we believe, Jesse, is that all of these things have really come from above, right?
Yes.
And so they're all tools that we can use to help our bodies. And so they're all available, luckily, and that's great. Sometimes a person needs a drug, and sometimes a person needs maybe a surgery or whatever. And this work isn't designed, like I said, to compete or take away from Western medicine. It's designed to be used, you know, as a home remedy for whatever. And then if you need Western medicine, go for it.
Another quick question. Let's say that someone came into your office, but they're not a Christian. They don't believe in God at all. Atheist, whatever they want to call it. Will you be able to help them in a holistic way?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. No. I mean, this
God
work
loves them, too.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
He loves us all the same. It doesn't matter. This is not a denominational thing. You know, the emotion code, the body code, all of this it's really just a way for people to be able to get more in tune with their own bodies. But as they do that, they find that they become more in tune with that higher power. And so, like I said, we've got certified practitioners of, I would say by now, of probably every religion on earth. And what we tell people is, look, if you believe that there's a higher power that created everything, we recommend before you do a session on anybody with any of this that you ask for help from that higher power. You can do it out loud or silently, whatever you want to do. But
sense.
No,
yeah.
People don't have to belong to any particular religion. God loves us all the same with a love that's beyond our ability to comprehend, I believe.
What when you're praying over them for their healing, they don't know you're doing it, right? It's just between you and God.
Well, it was really just a momentary pause,
right? Okay.
When I was in practice, for example. And nobody had any idea that I was asking for help. And it was only just a few seconds, right? Just an ask for help from up above, right? From the heart. And that's really what matters. It's not the words that matter. It's the feeling from the heart, really. And a simple feeling, please help. From the heart, that goes beyond any memorized prayer or any specific, because you can say all the words, but
yeah.
If it doesn't come from the heart, that doesn't really have any meaning.
You know, if you have the tiniest little bit of faith, that can do a lot. I remember when the first patient came in after we had gotten into our own practice. You know, Brad was a new doctor and had been working as an associate doctor for a few years, but then we purchased an existing practice from somebody. And the very first day, the first person that came into the practice was a man that was probably about 300 pounds or more.
Yeah, big, tall guy.
He was
crying.
He was crying.
And so was, much pain.
Yeah. And Brad kind of just thought, oh boy, I hope I can help him.
Yeah.
And so his mind automatically went to, his heart automatically went to, I need help with this.
Yeah.
Please help.
That was the first prayer I offered. But I was able to help that guy. So it just became a habit, you know.
Right. And, that's amazing. Doctor, were women created to lead or to follow?
I'll tell you something that I believe. I was doing a seminar last year, I think it was, or the year before, in Warsaw, Poland. And as I was sitting there and watching these 300 people, about 80% of them were women, it was just sitting watching them practice what they'd been learning.
Right.
I had this sudden insight that came to me. And I think it came from the Spirit. And that insight was that women are designed to be the closest thing to angels that we, as men, get to experience in this world. And that's how they should always be treated, like the angels that they should be, right? And are.
Like an angel of the devil or of God?
Well, you know, women have their agency and can choose either way, right? But I think that, anyway, that was the insight that I had.
But amazing. So, Jean, do you obey your husband?
I have to think about that. Do I?
Maybe, Jesse, I'll call you later.
Amazing.
He usually does have the final word. When we're making a decision or something,
right?
We'll try to make the decision together on many things.
We collaborate and pray about things. And,
you know, it depends on what it's about too.
Is it hard to obey him?
No,
I don't really order her around very much.
Why not?
There are times when I tell him if I feel very strongly about something, I kind of put my foot down once in a while.
Really.
But I forgive you.
And does he obey you?
Sometimes.
Really? What a
beta. Every time.
What?
Every time,
we're
Jesse.
We're a pretty good partnership, Jesse. Yeah.
That's amazing. So I got to put you guys on the hot seat. I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible, all right?
Okay.
The hot seat.
What is a man?
What is a man?
What's a man?
How can I? A man is a biological person that is male.
A man is a biological person that's a male. And Dr. Bradley, have you ever picked cotton?
No, I never have picked cotton.
Gene, did you take the jab?
No, I didn't.
How about you, Doctor? Do you believe in UFOs? Are UFOs real?
You know, that's a great question. I think that there's definitely something that, you know, that we don't understand. We've actually seen UFOs ourselves. As far as what they are, I don't know.
What did it look like?
Well, I've seen them on a couple of occasions. One time we saw a V formation of these boomerang-shaped objects that flew over our head and made a 90-degree turn.
That's amazing. That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was when we were newlyweds.
Were you in your car or walking around?
It was a winter night and we were walking through the snow up to my parents' house. It was kind of a low cloud layer. And so they were hidden just a little bit by the cloud layer. But yeah, they were lit up from the inside. They went right over our head and then made a 90-degree turn, just kept right on going.
It wasn't real dark out. It was kind of that dusky time of the day.
Yeah.
Did it make you afraid?
No.
Really? I kind of hope I see one, but I don't know if I'm sure if I want to see one. I don't know what would happen.
As long as they don't beam you up, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Jean, true or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
When she's crying, she's lying?
True or false? When she's crying, she's lying.
I'm not sure I understand that question.
Well, if a woman is crying, is she always lying?
No.
And what do you say, Doc? When she's crying, she's lying. True or false?
I'd have to agree with Jean. I mean, I think that there's different situations.
What is a woman, Doc?
Well, like I said, a woman, I believe, is a divine
You said it's an angel.
Yeah.
Amazing. Let me ask, Doc, is the earth flat or round?
As a pilot? For about 1,500, 1,600 hours now, I can confirm to you without any doubt, the world is round.
Amazing. Thank you. Jean, do you support Israel?
I love the Israeli people, and I think that they have made some big mistakes, and I don't want to get into what those might be exactly, but I think there's a lot of corruption in a lot of governments, and Israel is one of those that has some corruption.
Dr. Bradley, have you ever told anyone how the cow ate the cabbage?
How to what?
Wait, how to what?
Have you ever told anyone how the cow ate the cabbage?
How the cow ate the cabbage?
Yeah.
No. That's for certain.
Gee, should dual citizenship be illegal?
No.
I'm sorry?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think there are some times when people have a residence in two different countries, and so why not be a citizen of either place if they split their time?
Is it ever okay to call a woman fat?
Are you asking me or him?
Him.
Oh, absolutely not, Jesse. That's one of the cardinal sins.
Do we need more white babies?
Yes, we do. We need more black babies, too.
What a mess.
I love babies. You know,
not a plan.
I love babies so much. I used to tear up whenever I would see a baby. And I think it was a trapped emotion that we cleared that helped me to not cry every time I saw a baby. But babies, you know, they're beautiful.
Right on. Oh, man, my page went out. Last question for you here. Do you love white people?
Do I?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I love white people, black people. You know, one of the beautiful things that we get to do is travel around the world. And what we've learned wherever we've gone is that people are all the same. Yeah. You know, they want to live in peace. And we've got friends, for example, in Israel. They want to live in peace. And friends in Japan. And people just want to raise their children and be happy and grow and progress. And pursue happiness, right?
Right on.
Yeah.
And so do you love white people?
I do, yeah.
We are going to be celebrating our 9th year of White History Month in July.
Really?
We've been doing it every year in July because July just feels white. And will you be willing to celebrate?
How can it feel white? I don't know.
4th of July.
4th of July, relax time, reflection, appreciate your country. Will you guys celebrate the full White History Month with us in July?
Absolutely.
Sure. What can we do to celebrate it with you?
I'll let you know.
Okay.
And lastly for Eugene, true or false, sending your kids to a public school is child abuse?
Well, you know, that's not a yes or a no question. That almost feels like a trick question.
Kind of depends.
It depends on what's going on in that public school and which teachers they're engaging with and There are probably some things that are abusive there, but I think that there are a lot of really good teachers also.
Amazing. Did you all have fun?
Yeah.
This is great, Jesse. Great to connect with you. You're a great guy.
I enjoyed it. I loved it. Thank you all so much. Tell the folks how to get your books, how to get to your offices or whatever you want to promote.
Sure. Well, the Heart Code book is looks like this, and it's available on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. Tony Robbins wrote the foreword for this, and so you know, a lot of you will know him. You can get the book, like I said, online. Also, the book's available on Audible. So if you like to listen to books, we recorded the whole thing, and I narrated it, and Gene narrated parts of it, and so on. And you can also, if you're looking for a practitioner, somebody that can help you to get rid of that wall that you probably have around your heart, because what we found is that about 93% of people have put up this wall
yeah.
don't even know it.
Yeah.
And so they struggle with really finding love and connecting with others and making, you know, as much out of their life as they're capable of. And you can go to discoverhealing.com, our main website, and you can, there's a Google map of people all over the world. You can find somebody that can help you.
And you do have those locations in California, Los Angeles, kind of all over?
All over the world, 108 countries so far. And one of the interesting things about this work, Jesse, is that it's energy medicine. Albert Einstein said the medicine of the future will be the medicine of frequencies. And that's really what this work is about. The emotional baggage is, it's all energy that has different frequencies. And so it is very different from Western medicine. But, you know, the results that we get are really amazing and profound. The hardest thing about writing this book, The Heart Code, was that we had 10,000 stories to choose from. And nice. Sifting out those to go into the book, there's lots of stories in the book from people that have been helped with all kinds of things, physical, mental, emotional, you name it. And there's a whole chapter in there about animals, spiritual things as well,
yeah.
addictions and all kinds of things. And so so one of the things I was going to tell you is that if you look at that map on Discover Healing of our practitioners around the world, you might find out that the person that you're most drawn to working with, they don't have to be in your hometown. They can be literally anywhere else in the world. And of course, we offer training and everything else for people that they can get certified in this. And that's all at discoverhealing.com.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you all for coming on. Thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to like, follow, hit the like button right now, and follow, subscribe. Thank you for your support. And if you'd like to see other interesting guests on the show, contact producer at thefallenstate.tv. Producer at thefallenstate.tv. Check out my coffee, my merch, and all of those amazing things. And I also do shout outs for you. So go to Cameo, cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson, or shoutout.fans, /Jesse Lee Peterson. That was fun. Thank you all for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.